This morning, we're going to look at something that David had written in the Psalms. You might remember that David was a man who, at one point in his life, was busy doing and being exactly what God wanted him to be. If you were to look at David's life, there were times when he messed up, and he messed up big, but at this particular point, we could see that he was, what we would say, certainly within the will of God. And you might think that God would just shine upon him and bless him in the ways that, you know, whatever we might think a blessing is, and everything would be wonderful and great. But as David finds himself the victim of Saul's wrath, or more so jealousy, David has to flee and hide out in the mountains and in the caves. And it's not hard to wonder why it is that somebody who is so much God's anointed would be going through such a difficult trial in his life. You can read the whole story. We're not going to read it. It's in 1 Samuel chapters 16, 17, 18. You can go on from there. And sometime, if you're not familiar with the life and the challenges that David experienced, as well as the victories, do turn there to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and on. And some people suggest that the scripture we're going to look at this morning in Psalm 121 was written to reflect David's experiences with Saul when Saul was out to get him. Others suggest that Psalm 121 was written and that became known as the Pilgrim's Psalm, something that the people who were on their way to Jerusalem would sing along their journey. Jerusalem, being a city up on a hill, would have been seen from quite a distance. For many of the pilgrims, they would have looked up at the city from afar away, and they would have pressed on their way to that city. And for many of us, going on a journey is not a big deal. Last night, I had a dream that I was traveling across the country, and I forget, I think we were out in the east somewhere, and we had like 3 days to get back to Whitehorse, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder where we can stop on our way in, you know, on our way back. Journeying is easy for us today, but it wasn't like that in the days of the Old Testament. There were obstacles. There were no superhighways. There was always the threat from thieves or robbers. Lots could go wrong. Limited shelter. And they had no Tim Hortons. Oh. You couldn't just pull off to the side and get yourself a double-double coffee. You know, it just wasn't happening. And whether this Psalm 121 depicts David trying to hang on to his life in the midst of threats from Saul, or whether it depicts the pilgrim on his long and difficult journey to the holy city, there's an important theme, an important message of encouragement in this psalm for us, and it's there for us today. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I just want to stop there for a second, And I could just hear the cry in the man's heart. Where does my help come from? Then he answers his own question. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over Israel will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. There's a lot in that passage, and we might look at the second part of it at a future date, but this morning I just want to focus on the first couple of verses. And he begins by saying, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Have you ever wondered how in the world you're going to get through a difficult situation? Have you ever come across an obstacle that seemed too overwhelming? Have you ever felt perhaps it would be easier or better just to give up or quit? I know I've been there several times when I felt, I can't do this. Take me out. I remember when I was in college, I felt like that a few times. This is too much. I'm not going to make it. I can't do it. Maybe for you or a loved one, it's an illness that seems like it's invading. Maybe it's a relationship that is struggling. Maybe it's finances. Maybe if you're an avid hiker, you've literally experienced that mountain that you had to climb over, and it was like, how am I going to do that? But whatever your situation, there's likely been a time when you've looked up and wondered, how? How will I ever get over this, or through this, or around this? Oftentimes, there are risks. The risks are many. The hardships are unbearable. The journey is long. The road is narrow. You name it. We've been there. And the more you think about how hard it is, the worse it gets. It gets bigger. We look at the mountain looming in the distance. We lift up our eyes to the hills. And we wonder, where is my help? I know there are some people in our family, church family today, who are probably facing such a mountain. We've prayed for you. We've prayed together for you. And we will continue to pray. Interestingly, Jesus said that if we would pray and have faith, that we could even say to the mountain to be moved, and it would be tossed into the heart of the sea. I can't help but wonder if Jesus wasn't thinking about some of the mountains that we will face. And I believe that Psalm 121 was written to a people, probably not much unlike ourselves, who had to face some pretty tough situations, even if they were where they were supposed to be with God. And you look ahead and all you see is mountain. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The answer that David gives to his own question reflects an important truth that we don't often like to admit. It's implied, and that is that there comes a time when we all need help. We don't like to admit it. We like to be self-made. We like to be self-sufficient. We like to be in control. We like to think that everything is in our hands and we don't need anybody or anything. We can do it all ourselves. And the thing that is implied in this psalm is that there comes a time when we need help. And yet, we resist asking for help. Guys, why do you think it's so hard for us to ask for directions? I am sure that the GPSs were invented for guys, because they wouldn't ask anybody for directions. It has nothing to do with the fact that we're lost. We know we're lost. Of course we know that. We don't know where we're going. We're just pretending. The point is, it's nearly impossible for a guy to ask for directions from a stranger if his wife or girlfriend is sitting beside him. It's just, I don't know what it is. Pray for us guys, okay? We struggle. But it illustrates a truth that we don't like asking for help. Which, incidentally, going back to what I was sharing during the communion time about the love we receive from the Father and how we need to love one another, it says to me that we need to look for ways that we can help, because oftentimes the person who needs it won't ask. It'd be nice if they did, but they don't always. Funny thing is, when we finally ask for help, we wonder why we didn't do so sooner. The story is told of a little boy who was pulling at a huge rock he was trying to move. His father asked if he was having trouble, and the boy said, "Well, yeah, this rock is too big. I can't move it." The father asked him, "Are you doing everything you can?" And the boy said, "I think so, Dad." And the father said, "No, son, you're not. You haven't asked for my help." The psalmist says he lifts his eyes to the hills. He sees the long road ahead. He knows there are obstacles. It is natural to wonder how we're ever going to make it. But then he answers his own question. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our greatest help, doesn't matter what the issue is from the Lord. That is why we, as a church, need to point people to Jesus. You are not the solution to mankind's problems. I am not the solution to mankind's problems. The Church of the Nazarene is not the solution to mankind's problems. No individual here is. No one here has laid down their life for your sins. Nor could they, because we ourselves are sinners. But Jesus did. We read it earlier. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The church that points people to Jesus is the church that will be a help, because ultimately our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Whatever your need is today, the greatest help comes from the Lord. I love how David made the emphasis, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's like the psalmist wants us to know that the God that we're talking about, who is your help, is beyond your comprehension. God is the one who put it all together. God is the one who created you. God is the one who knows everything about you. And God is the one who can help you through your situation. We're talking about the one who spoke the whole world into existence. Not only the world, but the heavens and the earth. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Think about that for a minute. Whatever problem, mountain, challenge that you are facing, whatever it is that you're looking up at and wondering, how can I possibly get through that? Keep in mind that the God who created this universe is the one that we can go to for help. The God who spoke everything that there is into existence. And we come to him with our, what seems like to us is a big problem, and it is for us, but for him, it's like, eh, that's no challenge. Just to give a bit of perspective, when we think about God who created the heavens and the earth, you know, we're part of the Milky Way. That's a pretty big place. I don't know who measured it. I don't know how they measured it, but they say that it's somewhere between 100 and 120,000 light years in diameter. Now, I'm told that a light year is something like 10 trillion kilometers. And if you take 100,000 of those, it's a pretty big space. We're big. And it says, they say that there's, and again, I didn't count them, but between 100 and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. 400, okay, even 100 billion stars. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you even compute that in your head? And God created that? And as big as that is, the Milky Way is only one of 100 billion of them like that. 100 billion galaxies. It's like it's beyond our comprehension. Scientists tell us that there are not a million, there's 70,000 million stars in the universe. Okay? Not a million, not a million million, not a million million million, but 70,000 of those. Also known as seven with like 22 zeros after it. And now get this, Psalm 100 and woo-hoo. Praise him. We need the music team back up here so we can sort of go with his, with her. Awesome. Awesome. I love faith. Awesome. She's teaching us how it's supposed to be done. Good girl. 70,000 million, million, million stars. Psalm 147, verse 4. It says, he determines the number of stars and calls them by name. 70,000 million, million, million stars, and he calls them by name. I don't know how he does it, but I sure understand better now why God had Adam name the animals. He got tired of naming the 70,000 million, million, million stars. He said, you name the animals. I've had enough. I'm sure it's not like that, but wow. That's just to give you a perspective of the God who created everything. And the amazing thing is that here we are in that great big universe that is beyond our even ability to imagine. And in that spot, we are so tiny. And yet, God cares about us. God knows us. He loves us. We are significant to him to the point that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to be an atoning sacrifice for us. And it is that God that we call upon, that we look to for help. Our help is not in ourselves. Our help is not in some book. Our help is not in drugs or alcohol. Our help is in God. It's not the banker. It's not the government. It's not the psychologist. It's not the relatives. It's God. God is our help. Yes, often God works through people, and certainly we are to be obedient to being a help to one another. But the primary source is God. The God who created the heavens and the earth is the same God who knows you by name, and he loves you. And he invites you to lift up your eyes to him, to turn to him. Psalm 50:15 said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." That's the God that we can come to. Or, in the words written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, which Clayton read parts of it this morning, God says through the prophet to a people who are facing mountains of their own, who are in despair. He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary and tired, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And my encouragement to you this morning is simply this. If there is a mountain in front of you, and you lift up your eyes and you see them, and you might wonder, where is my help? Psalm 121 stands true today. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And quite often, as we face a mountain, we encourage somebody alongside us. Together, we find it a lot easier to bear. And so I want to encourage you to lean upon the Lord, and at the same time to see if there's someone who you could encourage on their journey as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, it just blows our mind to think of the vastness that you created with your word. And in that vastness, there's this little speck called earth. And in the vastness of the earth, from our perspective, there's this little speck called ourselves. And in all of that, you felt it important to come to redeem. And Lord, we want to thank you for your love for us. And I pray this morning that if there's anyone here who, first of all, doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would lean upon you, that they would turn their eyes and their heart to you, that they would receive you as their Lord. And Father, for each one of us, particularly those who might be going through a struggle today, the mountain looks too big, the way seems too hard, and it is on our strength. But Lord, we thank you that you give strength to the weary. And I pray that this morning, that anyone who is weary may be able to turn to you today and find their strength, their hope, their peace in you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.